Do you think if they have a massive fan base, there's suddenly a massive surge in, you know, old cassette players being sold? Because it's like, you know, what are people playing these things on?
Yeah, sure. Well, I wouldn't know what you'd listen to a cassette on. What I find interesting is that people don't even have CD players anymore.
No.
Our band has been selling CDs at shows, and I have had a lot of people say, what am I going to play that on? My laptop doesn't even have a CD player anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's pretty radically modern.
CDs are out already.
Okay.
Who would have thought? So a bit of backstory about the band's extraordinarily long name. It comes from a short science fiction book by the same name. And the science fiction book is actually terribly depressing, Maisie.
I was going to ask you. I quite fancied reading that. I thought the title was quite intriguing.
It's set in a kind of post-apocalyptic world where a supercomputer has kind of taken over the entire surface of the planet. And there are only a small number of humans left, and they're living in some kind of subterranean cave controlled by the supercomputer, which is doing horrible experiments to them.
Wow.
And one of these surviving humans decides to put the other humans out of their misery by killing them all. So one of them kills all the other humans. And before he gets to kill himself, the computer chases him down and traps him and turns him into a giant protoplasmic blob, condemned to never be able to move, to make any noise, or to, you know, scream when the torture is inflicted upon him. So it's about the last human.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, can't wait to read that one, can you, Maisie?
Oh, I think you put me off it now.
Hopefully I haven't put you off the band, because they're a great band.
Okay.
They play around Berlin quite a lot. One place they don't play, and they won't play again, is a club that is closing down, Maisie.
We've
been talking a little bit about clubs that close down. And interestingly, the clubs we've talked about in the past have been closed down because of neighborhood change in places like Prenzlauberg. But the one in question today is not closing for that reason particularly. The club is called Delicious Donuts. It's been a bit of a fixture of the Mitte club scene. Maisie knows a lot more about it because you've been here longer than I have.
Well, I studied here a long time ago. I've probably said this several times, but I came here a while ago. And in 2000, it was called DDR. It was a joke, you know, Delicious Donuts Research. And basically, it was very popular because at that time, Mitte was still a very sort of buzzing place to go out to clubs. And I'm always amazed when I walk past it, because I work just around the corner, I'm always amazed to see it's still going. You know, I always think it's got this same kind of red velvet curtains. It just seems like it hasn't really changed. And I always used to think, you know, that its days are numbered. And of course, they sadly are now, because it's not worth, I think financially, they're not making enough money and the rent's going up. But the owner also runs another bar in Prenzlauberg called Hotel Bar, another institution I used to go to, and that will keep going. That's on Rieckestrasse, which is the absolute epicentre of gentrification.
But it's interesting to read that Delicious Donuts is not closing because of neighbour complaints. It's not closing because of anything
not
like
the
that.
Spieser,
it's just closing because it became unpopular.
And partly because, the rent's too high.
And all the cool party crowds moved to Kreuzberg and Neukölln left Mitte behind.
Yeah, no one's going out in Mitte anymore unless they're going out to... Where are they going, Joel? Where is there to go around in Mitte?
I wouldn't know. I don't go there.
Where's that? There's HBC?
Well, there's the bar we're sitting, which is actually technically in Mitte Friedrichshain.
Yeah.
We're recording Radio Spätkauf from the bar Nahe Hollungsternchen, which is behind Kino International. And that's kind of right near Alexanderplatz, but in the middle of nowhere. We're in the middle of these Plattenbau and lots of old people, and there's nothing else around here. But interestingly, people are coming here. There are popular events going on in here. So I guess it's just like any bar. They get popular and they close, you know. It's just a cycle.
Yeah, maybe. But DDR managed a long time, I have to say, by Berlin standards. It outlived a lot of bars, you know, Ostgood, all those kind of places, Casino. So it's done pretty well to last this long, I have to say.
Well, of course, Ostgood became Berghain, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
And we have an update about Berghain, because that was another place that the rumour was threatened with closure because of the ridiculous fees that are being imposed by GEMA, the Music Rights Association, who have decided to slap huge increases in the price that they charge to clubs to play music, just to have the rights to play music, by the thousands of percents. And Berghain was going to be particularly badly hit. And there were rumours flying about what that was going to do for the club. Maisie's got a little bit of an update.
Yes, well, there were some rumours actually flying around that it was going to close. And obviously, I mean, basically, it's not going to close because they make so much money They have so many turning people away, you know, every weekend. Basically, they can increase the cover charge a bit more, and people will still pay it because people love the club, you know. But they were planning to expand into a neighbouring building, a very beautiful old kind of cathedral, an equally cathedral-like kind of old industrial building. And because of the GEMA costs, they are now unable financially to expand because it's just all going to cost too much money. So basically, GEMA has robbed us, or Berghain fans, of a nice new art space where they were actually planning on putting on kind of cultural events that extended beyond just club nights. You know, there's going to be dance and theatre, and it's not going to happen now.
Thanks, GEMA.
Yeah, cheers.
Next time you see a GEMA spy, kick him in.
Throw a custard pie at them.
But GEMA spies, Maisie. This is what I have just learned, and I've got to do a bit more research. So I'm kind of talking a bit, before doing research, which is always dangerous because I could be proven wrong.
It's a Spiekhaus special.
I have been informed by the operator of one particular club that GEMA is now sending out spies, or perhaps it always has been sending out spies to check on what music they play when they're open. But apparently these people are freelancers, so you can apply to GEMA to go around and be some kind of little snitch. Isn't that awful?
But Joel, the thing is, at least in the East, all those old ex-Stasi employees, they've got to go somewhere, haven't they?
Well, really? I was actually sitting in a bar where one showed up, and it wasn't an old Stasi guy at all. It was just some young dude who just looked like he just needed the money. And I thought, that's awful. These people are being recruited in just to become these sort of social spies.
Yeah, but if people will do grill walking, then they will definitely spy for GEMA, you know, or do the checking your tickets on the U-Bahn. That's a pretty crap job, you know. So I can see, you know, in terms of the terrible jobs choice, I'd opt for the GEMA one any day.
Song time, Maisie. And as I said, we're sitting in Stanchion. And as I said last week, on the last episode of Radio Spiekhaus, Stanchion is blessed with a wall full of paintings by Jim Avignon. We played a song by Jim Avignon last week, but Maisie has a bit of a soft spot for him, and she's particularly liked to play another one.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit out of date, but I don't think he gets the kind of attention he deserves. This is a track called Bartleby, which comes from his 2000 album, Say Hi to Your Neighbourhood.
Jim Avignon, Say Hi to Your Neighbourhood. Come down to Stanchion and say hi to some of his paintings. They're on the wall.
Yeah.
They look great. Maisie, I went to the cinema the other night.
Did you? What did you go and see?
Well, I don't want to, you know, product place for a film, but I don't go to the movies often, and I had completely forgotten about the whole thing about advertising at the start of movies.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I was sitting there, and the first ad that came on was an ad for Bild newspaper, and it was this sort of awful 3-minute people joking around about whatever they think of Bild, and this huge big thick slogan Bild came up. And I just thought, this is ridiculous. So I decided to be a bit of a loudmouth. And at the end of the ad, I yelled out, Cockscheiser!
Joel, did you get thrown out of the cinema?
Nobody said anything. I was terribly disappointed. There wasn't even like a laugh. I was hoping for an amen from the crowd.
Or an angry riposte or anything. Sort.
I think I heard someone way in the back kind of whisper like, like they did, like trying to work out, what did he just say? Did someone just yell at the screen? What was so? My question is: was that genuinely just not funny, or did Germans just have no sense of humour?
No, I think it was probably too. They probably weren't expecting it, and probably they know it's Kackscheisse, so it's probably not. You're stating the obvious. It has to be cleverer than that, Joel.
You want to give us a translation?
Kackscheisse is like shit. So basically, you said shit.
And I went. I wasn't alone. I was with somebody at the film, and he said to me, "What does that even mean? What did you just say? And why did you say it?" And I had to say, "Well, of course, I was just criticizing the Bild Zeitung, this newspaper, because it's bullshit, and everybody knew that." And I thought, "Isn't it self-evident that Bild is a bad newspaper?"
No, it isn't, because otherwise it wouldn't sell that well.
Not only that, Maisie, but sometimes I think, and this is where I think people who, you know, stand on progressive issues should sometimes be a bit cautious and I don't know, do a little bit of research. And I've got to be honest, I actually don't read the Bild Zeitung. I have been told it's a crappy newspaper, and I've been told it's one that's really offensive and sometimes, you know, pushes political agendas that I would completely disagree with. But I thought it's actually important sometimes to read this thing and to be actually informed to make sure that my opinions about it being Kackscheiße are actually correct.
Yeah.
So I did actually leaf through the Bild-Zeitung this week just to make sure.
Online, I hope. I hope you didn't buy it.
It was in the bakery when I was buying coffee or something. But I don't want to turn this into some kind of positive story about Bild, because I do understand that they run a lot of really crappy editorial lines, and that there's things that you shouldn't, that they support that I don't. But I did notice, and this surprised me, did you realize that the front page girls have disappeared off Bild?
I hadn't noticed.
When I moved here, Bild-Zeitung had every day a picture of a topless girl on the front page.
Oh.
And I thought, this is incredible, because in England, of course, the famous newspaper is The Sun, and their claim to fame is that they have page three girls.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was outrageous. I move here and they've got them on the front page of the biggest selling newspaper in Germany.
Yeah, but you know what they're like about nudity, Joel, here? They don't mind a bit of flesh bearing, even
don't.
On the front of daily newspapers that sell massive, amounts.
Well, apparently it had even gotten too much for Bild, and a couple of months ago, I didn't even notice this was back in March, they decided to drop the front page girls. So I'm very sorry if you've come here expecting a little bit more flesh, if you're one of these tourists who are hoping to see like a liberal, overly liberal German publishing scene where you can just pick up any kind of, filth off the newsstands, to be disappointed. You won't find it. Instead, Bild now buries it back on page 8 or 9 or something.
Okay.
So don't worry, it's still there.
Yeah.
Along with a lot of other, stories that may or may not be offensive to certain demographics.
Yeah. Bild-Zeitung. Yeah, I remember it's their Wir sind Papst. Massive hoarding that they put on the side of the Axel Springer building.
We are the Pope.
Yeah, and I had that basically facing my flat, getting up every morning and seeing a massive, massive image of the Pope's face and Wir sind Papst.
Like Germany had become the Pope.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was quite a bit of propaganda.
Very much so. Apparently he won't be Pope for long. He's on his way out. So I don't know
what
Germans are going to do when Wir sind nicht den Papst.
Well, he stays down at Zuidkreuz when he's here.
Yeah, and very, very humble.
Very close
digs,
to me,
I hear.
Yeah. It was a phenomenal kind of security system on this kind of very ultra modern, kind of Terminator style looking building.
But no flash hotel.
No.
Maybe he goes for a walk in Hasenheide and picks up some weed.
Yeah, I was going to say, goes for a little jog on Tempelhof. Does a bit of gardening, a bit of guerrilla gardening. Yeah.